Good morning and praise the Lord. Happy New Year greetings to all. As today is the New Year morning, the prominent thought that came to my mind from last night was, what is the New Year resolution that I would take? Probably all of us are thinking about New Year resolution. That has been a practice among Christians to lead a more responsible life and a life that is more pleasing to the Lord, to make some New Year resolutions at the outset of every New Year. I do not know whether all of us are very keen on that or not, but that is not the most important thing. But when I was thinking about that, two words just popped up in my mind. That is the word revelation and the word revolution. So as though the Spirit of God is leading me in a different direction, that more than the New Year resolution, the most important thing I need and all of us need is the revelation of God, which has already come to us through the pages of the Holy Scriptures. So that revelation in all its power and enlightenment may come to us and direct our path, give us consolation, strength, comfort, challenge, motivation, above all victory in this new year. Another thought that came to me is through another word that again popped up in my mind, that is the word revolution. That is as though the Spirit of God is reminding me, and probably through me and God's word, all of us, that what we need urgently is not a New Year resolution, but probably a New Year resolution, a New Year revolution. A spiritual revolution that can draw us closer to God and to make us more responsible and more accountable in the things of the Lord. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. This morning, I would like to speak to you on a topic that has been in my mind for the last whole year. And every day it has been bubbling up and coming back to my mind and to the surface of my heart and thinking. That is, do we live for God's blessings or God's approval? God's blessings or God's approval? Do we live just to receive God's blessings or to receive God's approval, to please God? Now, our natural inclination is that we desire God's blessings. I'm a person who desires God's blessings for me, for my wife, for my children, for my ministry, for my assembly, for my friends, for my extended family. And I know that there is nothing wrong in that. It is very natural on our part to covet God's blessings. Sometimes the danger is that when we think about blessings, it is all concentrated on material blessings. We also need material blessings, so it is also not that bad that we need material blessings and we pray for material blessings and we covet material blessings. But I believe that most of us are more biblical in our thinking, so when we pray, we desire not only material blessings, but material and spiritual blessings. As far as I can see in my life, and I know most of you, I know that in our life, our inclination in our prayer, in our desire, and in our aspiration is not just to have material blessings alone, but material and spiritual blessings. And we know that what we get what we strive for. If we pray more for spiritual blessings and work towards that, and if we are more committed to that, and if we are more diligent and disciplined to receive spiritual blessings, the Lord will make sure that we will get it. But if we forget spiritual blessings and if we work our whole energy and resources and time toward material blessings, we will get material blessings also. And we know that, we have proved that from this from our experience. But when we study the Word of God, are we quite sure that the Lord wants to bless us or the Lord wants to approve us? That is the question I want to present before you this morning. What do we desire for the new year? Is it just God's blessings or God's approval? Look at the charismatic theology and the new generation Pentecostal theology in general. How one can be healed, how one can be wealthy and healthy and prosperous. And that attracts a lot of people because it brings to us tons of blessings of God. Count your blessings, name them one by one. We like to sing that chorus. And this is not only the problem of charismatics and Pentecostals. Evangelicals also have this addiction to blessings because we find a lot of books on how to be successful as a Christian, how to have a great, good self-image as a Christian. If we evaluate our prayers, everything centers around God's blessings. But I think that is only half of the story, and we are missing quite a lot because we do not think about the need to be approved by God. God's blessings are not necessarily his approval. You think about the life of Abraham. God immensely blessed him, richly blessed him from the very outset of his calling. But we also find that Abraham disobeyed God. Abraham was reluctant to obey God. Abraham rebelled against God. Abraham lied to God. But still, God blessed him. Does those blessings mean that God approved him completely at that time? Not at all. Think about the life of David, the same story. Think about the life of Moses, the same story. Think about the life of Peter, the same story. Think about our own life, the same story. The Lord did not approve many things in our life, but still, the Lord blessed. I can say that in my life, in my ministry. The Lord blesses us in spite of mistakes and sins in our life for the sake of the lost people, to save lost people, to encourage God's people in need, and to bring a blessing to God's people and to others. God may use us at a particular time, even though you may not be completely approved of God. But what God expects from our life, more than that we should be blessed, is that we should be approved of God. In Acts 2:22, we read about the Lord Jesus Christ in Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. Jesus of Nazareth, not a man blessed by God, but a man approved by God. Now, I want to show you this morning this important truth of approval from God more than blessings from God from the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, shall we turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3? Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3. This is the passage on the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's blessings or God's approval. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, I'm going to read verses 16 and 17. Very familiar verses. We read, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and alighting upon him, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, whom I have blessed. No, in whom I am well pleased. There is a lot of difference, friends, between being blessed by God and being approved by God. all our natural inclinations and our prayer and our desire, our dreams and our ambitions, what our parents wish for us, what our elders wish for us, what uncles and aunties wish for us, what we covet as an assembly, is all about God's blessings. But what God expects is not only God's blessings, but more than God's blessings, it is God's approval. God's approval in our life, in our ministry, in our marriage, in our family, in our missions, in our projects. Not that we should be a blessed assembly, but more than we should be an assembly approved by God. That I should not be simply be a servant of God, blessed by God, but be a servant of God, whether I'm blessed or not, that I should be approved of God. That is the message, loud and clear for us this morning, from the very example, from the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Not that this is my Son, whom I have blessed. That is what we would like to hear. That is what I would like to hear. And we would consider that the most important message. But that message is absent here. The message here is that this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now in the Gospel of Matthew, only two times God the Father directly speaks. Have you ever thought about that? In the Gospel of Matthew, there are only two instances in which God the Father directly speaks. And whenever he speaks on those two times, it is about the approval of his Son. He speaks directly only two times. And that is all about his Son. And what about his Son? It is about that his Son is approved of the Father. One time here, and then in Matthew 17, in the passage of Transfiguration, which we will look. But come back with me again to Matthew's Gospel chapter 3, the baptism passage. Why was Jesus approved? What are the characteristics or qualities in the Lord Jesus Christ which we find in this passage? We know that throughout his life, he was approved of God because his whole life was pleasing to the Father. He was the sinless, beloved Son of God. And we know that he was approved of God. But from a human perspective, when we look at the picture of his baptism, there are certain very important characteristics that stand out that can be a great example to us so that we also may be approved of God. There are four things happening here in relation to the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one is the act of obedience, the act of submission, that is, Jesus willing to be baptized to fulfill all the righteousness of God. There was no need for him to be baptized, but he was willing to be baptized so that all the righteousness of God, all the righteous demands of God may be satisfied. So, baptism here is an act of obedience for him, is an act of submission for him. He is willing to be yielded to the plan and purpose of God. Even though he can be exempted from that, even though he can take an exception to that rule, he was willing, he was voluntary, he was so excited that he willingly and voluntarily submitted, yielded himself to the righteous demands of the Father, even though he was the only one in the universe who could claim an exemption. So the first thing here in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ is his willingness to be yielded, his willingness to obey, his willingness to submit, and that is the reason that he was baptized. Number two, the second thing we read here in verse 16, and behold, love, if you read in the old KJV, the word behold actually occurs two times, and that is very true to the original text. Lo, behold. In some of the modern translations, we find behold only one time, and then they have supplied it with at that time or suddenly. That is not a good option for translation. It is lo, behold. That is, the Spirit of God is calling our attention to that act, to that decisive act. The things that are going on are worthy to be noticed. It is worthy to be observed. Lo, behold, I call your attention to this fact. What is that fact? Behold, the heavens were opened. That is the second thing happening here. The Lord Jesus coming willingly and voluntarily, submitting himself to the act of baptism so that all the righteous demands of the Father may be fulfilled. Number two, the second thing, lo, behold, what is happening here? It is the heavens were opened. Why the heavens were opened throughout the scriptures? When the heavens are opened, it is for a glorious vision of God. For example, Ezekiel saw the heavens opened and he saw wonderful visions of God. Stephen, at the very time of his death, last breath, saw the heavens were opened and Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. John the Apostle in the book of Revelation, several times he saw the heavens were opened. It is the revelation of the glory of God. It is a special sense of the majesty, power, and presence of God and God's blessings in the life of the beholder. It is making sure that God the Father is so near to us and Jesus is so near to God. It is the visible evidence of God's intervention in the life of a person. So why was Jesus approved? Jesus was approved because he was willing to be yielded to God, to be submissive to God, to be obedient to the Father. At that time, there was a visible divine intervention that the heavens were opened. The presence of the Father became so real, so meaningful, so clear, and so near to his beloved Son. When we are approved of God, that is the result, the blessing, divine intervention on our behalf. In the dark days of Patmos, heavens will be opened so that we can have a fresh glimpse of the nearness of the power of the glory of the love of God and how God can minister in our needs at those particular dark moments. And that is the blessing of being approved by God. Heavens were opened. That is the second thing. That is the divine presence, divine nearness, and divine intervention. And what is the third thing? The Spirit of God descending like a dove. He is commissioned for his service and granted strength for his ministry. He was anointed by the Spirit. He was yielded and obedient. Heavens were opened. Number three, behold, another thing happening here. He was anointed by the Spirit. He was commissioned by the Spirit. Now, this is the only instance in the scripture, the only instance in which the Holy Spirit is represented as a dove, taking the form of a dove. There can be various significance to that. I believe the most important significance is probably the meekness of the Holy Spirit. Dove is a very meek bird. Another probably more theological reason is his association with sacrifice, because dove in the Old Testament is always was a sacrificial bird. If we read the stipulations on what to offer unto God, we read in the book of Leviticus that bullocks should be offered by the rich, lambs by the middle class, and the poor people, they offered pigeons and dove. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 24, when the parents of the Lord Jesus Christ came to the temple to present the Lord as a little child, they offered a pair of turtle doves because they were poor. So the dove is associated with sacrifice. The Holy Spirit descended upon the Son, and the Son is on a road to a great sacrifice. He is going to be the sacrifice for the entire human race. So he was anointed by the Spirit. He was commissioned for service. He was granted strength for ministry. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, many of us here in this audience, at least some of us are theologically educated, formally educated. But in all my years of formal theological education, I have found that there is a lurking danger, especially in the American seminaries. You know what that is? Anybody going to a theological college and getting a degree, he has a thinking, he has, you know, this idea that because he has a degree, because he knows certain things, because he has some academic credentials, he is qualified to serve the Lord. That is a great danger, because the qualification to serve the Lord and the power to serve the Lord is given to us only by the Holy Spirit. No seminary can give us that power. No degree can give us that power. If the Lord calls us and anoints us and sends us, along with that, if you have a degree and a better knowledge, that is always helpful. But that degree and that training itself will not qualify anyone to be a pastor. Look at what people are doing. They go, they get a degree and training immediately. They apply for a position in the church, believing that the Lord has called them. Why did they think that? Because they have gone through that academic training. It should be the other way. See, if the Lord has called us, if the Lord has anointed us, if the Lord has given you the gift and the strength and the power to serve the Lord, maybe a training, better understanding of scriptures, a degree can be of help to you. But that is not how majority of the people think. So in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was approved of God because he was anointed by the Lord. He was filled by the Spirit. He was controlled by the Spirit. He was empowered by the Spirit of God in his life. And that is why he was approved. We can never be approved of God in our life without being empowered by the Spirit of God. Now, one of the usual mistakes we make in our assemblies, including Edmunds Lane, is that we ask people to volunteer for ministry. Let me tell you, can you show me any single instance in the Word of God where in the New Testament church, people were asked to volunteer for ministry? Not a single instance. This is a wrong teaching that has crept into us, into our midst. People never volunteer for ministry in the church because people have to be tested, people have to be empowered, people have to be anointed, people have to be knowledgeable, people have to be godly, people have to be gifted, and such people have to be recognized by the elders, encouraged, and brought to the assembly. Not that they should volunteer, because that is not in the Bible. Empowered by the ministry. How? By the power of God, by the calling of God, by the godliness of God, by the gift of God. Such people should be noticed, recognized. They should be discerned by the oversight, and they should be encouraged to take the ministry. Not that it is voluntary for anyone. This is sacred business. It's not a voluntary business. And that is why Jesus was approved by God. The God the Father did not tell him, you volunteer, let me see. You know, he was commissioned, he was anointed, and he was strengthened and empowered by the Spirit of God. He was yielded. He was yielding. Number one, obedient. Heavens were open, divine intervention. Number three, he was anointed by the Spirit. And then it culminates in the testimony, in whom, verse 17, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son, and lo and behold, look at this son who has met all the approval criteria. And suddenly God the Father testifying, a voice came from heaven, this is my beloved son, in whom, not that I have blessed, but I am well pleased. So the fourth thing is the testimony. The first thing is the obedience. The second thing is the opening of the heaven, divine intervention, divine blessing, divine nearness, divine consolation. And number three, anointing of the Spirit. Number four, it is the glorious testimony. I am well pleased to place the mission, the great mission of the salvation of mankind upon my son. In Isaiah chapter 42, behold my servant in whom my soul delights. That is what probably Matthew is thinking. This is the Messiah son. This is the beloved son. He is also the servant of Jehovah, the Messiah king's son servant. He will bring salvation to the nations. He is the Father's delight. And the Father is completely approving the mission of his son. I am well pleased in his mission. He can boldly go forward with the mission. Dear brothers and sisters, when we are approved by the Lord, we can boldly go forward with the mission, with our life, with our ministry, with the challenges, with the temptations, with the trials, with all the possible threats, we can go forward because we have already been approved by the Lord. Now, if you come with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 21, there is one more thing mentioned at the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke 3:21, that detail Matthew omits, but Luke adds, we looked at four things, but Luke adds one more important thing in Luke's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 21. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened. You look at the additional detail here. While he prayed. In the Gospel of Luke, prayer occurs at every major point in Jesus' life. And Luke also reminds us that when he was praying, not only that he obeyed, not only that he went to the water, not only that he was anointed by the Spirit, not only that he was approved of the Father, but in the water, he was praying. Probably some of us might have sung while we were, you know, getting baptized. Others sing, and we also might have sung. You know, Valsa and Susie's mother, you know, always when she sees me, she used to tell me that when my father was baptized as a teenager by Mahakavi K.V. Simon, she was present at that time. So that is the first thing she would tell me when she sees me. So she cannot forget that incident, that as my father was going down into the water, she said, he sang a song. as he was going into the water. You know, so many of us might have done that. But here, about the Lord Jesus Christ, Luke writes something. We also might have prayed, you know. But Luke particularly mentions, while he prayed. That may be another reason that the Father approved him. Prayer of what? A prayer of commitment, a prayer of dedication to the Father's will, a prayer of contemplation about all what is going to come in his life so that he can fulfill the Father's will, a prayer of praise and a prayer to glorify the Father, a prayer of total dependence upon the Father, even when he was going to be baptized. Dear brothers and sisters, God's blessings or God's approval. God wants us more of his approval in our life during this year than his blessings. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these blessings shall be added to you. He will take care of that. But we need to take care of the approval part. Total dependence on the Lord. A life of power by the Holy Spirit, empowered, victorious, able to lead others, able to minister to others, enjoying the power of victory in your own life, having the full confidence that the Lord has called you, commissioned you, anointed you, and given you the gift to fulfill this ministry. And also the willingness and the yieldedness. God's approval. Through the obedient life of the Lord Jesus Christ, he lived with a heavenly vision, enjoyed the constant presence and power of God and fullness of the Spirit of God in his life. A life of full submission and yieldedness, that was the road to approval. Let us briefly look at one more passage. The second time God the Father speaks in Matthew's Gospel. Very similar to this, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 5. While he was, 17:5, while he was still speaking, you know, the interesting thing is in this passage, also in the original text, behold, lo, occurs two times. Some of the translations it is missing. But behold, Lord, this is something you readers know to take notice concerning the Son. The Spirit of God is calling our attention. Lo, behold, look intently, look intensely. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I have approved him. Not that I have blessed him. I have approved him. And the added thing which God the Father declares here, listen to him. Hear him. He is worthy to be listened to. In the biblical sense, the word, the Greek verb and the Hebrew verb, listen or here is always listening to believe. You know, that's a very important Hebraic concept. We are not like in other languages that we just, you know, hear. In the Hebrew language and also in the Greek language, when we listen, when we hear, we are listening to obey or listening to believe. Listen to someone whom God has approved. Don't listen to anyone else. Listen to my beloved Son in whom God has approved. Today, a lot of people, even many preachers and teachers, Christian leaders, do a lot of things to get people's attention, that people may listen to them, you know. So based on their oratory or ability, their ability to perform miracles or their personal charisma. People want to get attention. Now, we all preachers, we all have that temptation. When we stand and preach, we want people to listen to us. There is nothing wrong in that, but what is the principle we can learn from here? Listen to him. When we are approved of God, when we are approved by God, people will listen to us. Or God will make sure that others will follow you. Others will listen to you. Because you are approved by God. And if others listen to you, they will be blessed. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Hear him. You will be blessed. You will be saved. You will be delivered. You will be liberated. Do not listen to the words of the world. Do not listen to the words of people who are not approved of God. Do not listen to the words of people perpetuating the traditions of men which has never been approved of God. Word of God and the counsel of God, those who are committed to it and whom God has approved, let us listen to them and let us follow them. What a wonderful truth is that. And finally, one more verse from 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. 2 Timothy, very familiar verse. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker or a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Look at the phrase, be diligent to present yourself approved unto God. Paul is writing to Timothy. Timothy, one of the most important responsibilities you have as a preacher and a teacher of the word, as a Christian leader, and one of the elders or leaders in the church at Ephesus, is that you must be approved unto God. And how you can be approved of God? Be diligent, do your best to present yourself as one who is approved unto God by rightly dividing the word of truth. One way to be approved of God is to rightly divide the word of truth. To understand the scripture accurately, to interpret the scripture accurately, to apply the scripture accurately, to expound the scripture accurately, to proclaim the scripture accurately is one of the ways through which God wants his servants to get approved. That means if we mess with the word of God, God will not approve us. That is the simple meaning of it. You know, study to show thyself. Actually, the word is not study, spoudazo, means be zealous. Be zealous to present. Be diligent, be zealous, be excited, work hard, diligent, so that you may present yourself approved unto God. How? By rightly dividing the word of truth. It is talking about the importance of knowing, learning, understanding, applying, and dividing the word of God, so that we may be approved of God. The word for approved, dokimos, is approved after testing, approved after examination, favorably passing the inspection, the scrutiny, thereby being approved, counted worthy by the Lord. How? By your attitude to the scriptures. By your attitude to the scriptures, you can be approved of God. When I was in my final year college, the year in which I committed my life to the Lord, there was an engineer brother who used to come for university ministries along with us. And as he mentored us, he will read this verse. He was not a Bible scholar, but he will read this verse to us and always say that, you know, Alex, John, we know that You all are learning for your degree, and you know, you will get your degree soon, your BA and your MA all very soon. But I want to make sure that you get another degree from the Lord, AUG, approved unto God. I heard that when I was 22 years old, and it has never gone from my mind. AUG, approved unto God. He said that is the degree our young people need. It is not the degree of all the blessings. It is not what always what our parents think about us. It is something more what the Lord wants for all of us. That is, we want to be approved by God. The degree of AUG, approved of God in our marriage, approved of God in our career, approved of God in our education, approved of God in our family, approved of God in our ministry, approved of God in our mission, approved of God in everything what we do. We are not here to do things because others are doing it. We are here to do things so that we may be approved of God. We as an assembly, I have been emphasizing on the individual aspect of it. But I think as an assembly also, this is a very important truth. Do we want to be an assembly in 2017? An assembly richly blessed by the Lord, or an assembly being approved by the Lord? That's a very important question for all of us. May the Lord give us the grace and the power and the wisdom, not only to be blessed by the Lord, whatever blessing he brings on the way, we praise the Lord for that. But let us forget it for a minute, and let us think all about being approved by God. Blessings or approval? God's blessings or God's approval? Shall we pray? The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Thank you, Father, that this morning at the very outset of this new year, we had the opportunity and privilege to proclaim that holy word of God. And we thank you for the message that was brought to us this morning, that we should be more approved of God than be blessed of God. Let that be a new message. Let that be a moving message. Let that be a powerful and transforming message in the life of each one of us and for our assembly also. It is not for God's blessings we covet, but it is for God's approval. What a glorious testimony and example and pattern we have seen in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, and those characteristics of his life through which he was approved of God. We also read about Paul's word to Timothy, that by handling the word of accurately, not casually, not carelessly, that he can be approved of God. Pray that we all may be able to receive that degree during this year. And we pray that we may strive towards that end by your power, by your strength, and by your gift, and by your leadership. Teach us, help us to obey, help us to follow you, help us to be obedient, humble servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us together, young and old, for thy glory, as we commend and commit ourselves to you at the very threshold of this new year, for thy special touch of blessing, as we pray this in our Savior's holy and precious name. Amen.